Preparation for the purpose of God. Okay, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 8. Okay, for today, there will be some notes there too, because I want to show you all something as well, okay, as we go along. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, and so on, until we finish at verse number 8. Familiar passage of Scripture, and hopefully we can draw some learning points from there as well. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, until we come to the end, all right? Already? Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Moses, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying," verse 2, "every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." Verse 4. Verse 5. "They shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Verse 6. Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." Verse 8, let's read together. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you. We can look into this passage of Scripture. And Lord, we ask you to transport us thousands of years back when you stood face to face with Joshua, telling him, Lord, what you wanted him to do before he went into the promised land. Lord, we pray today, before we go into 2013, that you would speak to us in a special way as well, that we will be prepared, Father, to do your will and your will alone. Lord, may all our hearts' ambition and our desires for 2013 be laid at the foot of the cross, where it really belongs when it comes to a Christian's desire. Lord, help us by your grace to understand not only the words, but your heart. Lord, may we see and hear from heaven today. And God, may you take this unworthy servant who will share your word, and may you be the teacher and you alone. And may at the end of today, Lord, we will hear from your word what you have us to learn. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word that you have given to us, the word that has not changed ever since, Lord, it was given to man. We thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. We pray for one who may not know Christ, or someone who may not be too sure about salvation itself. I pray, Lord, that Lord, the Holy Spirit will speak in some way to that heart. In the meantime, for us as Christians, speak to us with regards to your will today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Is everyone okay? Yeah. All right. Well, let's begin. Joshua. There are two Joshuas in front. Okay, one went home. Anyway, well, just give you a little bit of background by way of introduction. Joshua was appointed for a purpose. The purpose is to bring the children of Israel into the land of promise, all right? We all know that. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8, okay, for those who will look at the printed verses, all right, just to make it easy for us, Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." In verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses is not given the privilege, unfortunately, to go into the promised land. Why? Why wasn't he a great leader? Wasn't he someone with whom God spoke face to face? Why is it that Moses did not go into the promised land? I think some of you know the reason. For one sin, God said, you are not supposed to go. I will not allow you to go into the promised land. Some people may say, that's too puny of God. That's too petty of God. God told Moses, speak to the rock. But what did Moses do? He struck the rock. And we all know that. And God says he was angry. And what he did was he struck the rock in front of the entire nation of Israel. And so God had to deal with that publicly. Okay, that's a lesson for us as Christian leaders. When we do things which are wrong in the sight of God and in the sight of man, God deals with us severely. Pray for your pastor that he might remain faithful to what God wants him to do. And so because Moses is not allowed to go into the promised land, guess what? God appoints Joshua. God has appointed Joshua to bring them in. Joshua's initial purpose was to be Moses' minister. Okay, a few verses there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, the servant of Moses. In Exodus chapter 24, verse 13, you can follow along in the verses there. Okay, I know I'm speaking a bit fast. I just want to follow along. Some of the verses for our visitors, you can find printed in the bulletin, okay? Exodus 24:13, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up unto the mount of God. So interestingly, when Moses went up to the mountain to collect the tables of stone, the commandments from God, guess what? Joshua, the servant of not God, the servant of Moses, went up together with him. Joshua has served the Lord by being Moses' servant for how many years? 40 years. That's a lesson in itself. That's a lesson in itself because Joshua served Moses, the man of God. Some people say, now I'm not going to serve man, I'm going to serve God. The Bible teaches clearly Joshua served the man of God. I do not believe Joshua worshipped Moses, but Joshua did his responsibilities according to the will of God as he helped Moses with his work. May we all have that mindset. We're all servants of God. And you know, the Bible teaches us to be servants of one another as well. So Joshua was appointed for a purpose. His initial purpose was to be Moses' minister. But now, in this passage in which we read, Joshua's purpose now is to be Israel's leader. Learn a lesson from this arrangement. Some people may want prominence, okay, without working for it. That is never the will of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. And he sat down and called unto the 12, and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. This, interestingly, is a pattern in the Old Testament which Jesus repeated in the New. If you want to be great, learn to serve. If you want to be prominent, learn to serve. If you want to be first, learn to be last. All right? That is Jesus' principle of greatness. That's why there's this thing about servant leadership that's always been banded around. Yes. Trying to make sure that sound is right. Thanks for that, Tim. Okay. Like Joshua, God may have different purposes in our lives at different stages of our lives. And I want us to understand this, because as you grow, God either gives us more responsibilities or he pushes us in a different direction. Okay? And he many times choose to use us in different ways at different times. You know what that tells us? We need to be open to the leading of God. Sadly, some Christians have no purpose and no direction in life. They go along life's way and doing what the world does, forgetting who they are and who they serve. It is like a student who has forgotten that God's will is for him to glorify God by doing well in his studies. Are you listening? Students, what is God's will for you as a student? It is to? No one wants to say it. Because when they stay, they get held accountable to it. When God's will for your student, God's will for you to study and glorify God through the things that he's asked you to do. Okay? Like a son whose will of God is to honor and obey his or her parents, but he forgets about it. Like an employee who forgets that his purpose or her purpose is to be productive and contributing to the company that is paying him. You know, sometimes even as Christians, we forget why we're Christians, or rather, we forget that we are Christians. This is an individual without a purpose. You know, so, Brother Johnny, I don't know what the will of God for me now. I mean, God specific, what should I be doing? Some people may ask that in terms of the purpose in life. You know, the first thing that you need to learn to serve. Joshua did it for 40 years. Whoops, sorry. Joshua did it for 40 years. We need to learn to serve. We need to learn to serve. In Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus teaches this. He that is faithful in that which is least will then be faithful in that which is much. Learn to serve. Learn to serve. And an illustration I give of that in the SAF, in the Singapore Armed Forces, all the soldiers are required to go through training and exercises. They are put through military drills and missions. They are deployed overseas for training and are involved in active duty. Some of them are involved in active duty, maybe overseas, okay? In the Israeli Defense Force, officer training is tough. I'm not too sure everything that they go through, but in one of my privileged interviews, or just kind of conversation with a general when I was in the Army in 1988, I spoke to them, and he was sharing with us that in officer training, they will go through a lot of training, but the last phase of their training, they are supposed to spend, I think, one year in the war front. And if you survive that, you graduate to be an officer. Okay, you graduate to be an officer. So they are placed in the front line. Now, what's the purpose of this training? What's the purpose of going through the drills? What's the purpose of going through all these things in the training and the drills? Is to prepare themselves as a country for the eventuality, they call it, for war. Basically, when the war actually starts, we will know what to do. We will know what to do to fight and defend our homeland. The purpose of our lives as a Christian is not to accomplish for ourselves what we want, but to do for God what He plans for us to do. I say that again. The purpose of our lives is not to accomplish what we want, but to do what God has already planned for us to do. And our goal in life is to find out, God, what is your plan for me? That was what the Apostle Paul said when he first met Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Lord, what would thou have me to do? Not what can I do for you. It's interesting when you have service in Singapore. What can I do for you? Oh, can you please buy me the condo? Sorry, I can't. No. When we ask God the question, what would thou have me to do? Whatever God wills, we will do it. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, Paul shows this principle. Josh shows this principle when I just shared with you that our purpose in life is not to accomplish for ourselves what we want or desire, but to do for God what He plans for us to do. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that He died for all, Christ died for all, so that they which live, the phrase there, they which live, refers to those people who have trusted Christ, who were sinners and dead in sin, and then now become alive in Christ. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. You know, Christian, our life is to be lived out as a banner of glorifying Christ, that all our works will lift up the Savior. You know, in the same way, God wants us to serve and to learn to obey Him now, so that when He calls us for a specific purpose, we are ready to do it. God wants us to be prepared to face a brand new challenge in 2013, both as a church and as an individual. God has a purpose for us. God is not comfortable. I always like to say this. God loves us the way we are, but he loves us too much to keep us the way we are. Because he knows we won't grow in that sense. Okay? Many years ago in Japan, there was a Japanese emperor who commissioned an artist to paint a bird. Okay, draw a bird. How many of you like to draw birds? I remember my first, one of my first letters, among the first letters that me and my wife corresponded, she drew something, she drew a bird. Don't know whether she remembered. She couldn't remember, right? See? Okay. She tried her best, right? We're not artists, so I won't probably. Yeah, but she tried, and it was pretty nice, you know? But this particular Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to draw a bird. A number of months passed, and then several years. And still, there was no painting brought to the palace. Finally, don't try to draw birds now. Pay attention, okay? After we can have an artist competition, bird painting or something. Finally, the emperor became so angry. Why so many years I've given to you? You have not given me the painting of the artist. So he went to the artist's home and demanded an explanation. No, instead of making excuses, the artist placed a blank canvas and started to draw. And within 1 hour, came up with a brilliant masterpiece. And then, when the emperor said, "Hey, why the delay? Why you waste so fast? You could have done it so fast." You know what the artist did? The artist showed him armloads, lots of drawings of feathers, of wings, of heads, and feet. Then he explained to the emperor the reason why he delayed was this was all his research and study necessary before he completed the painting for the emperor. So those years weren't wasted. It was when he was practicing, making sure that the head was just right, the feathers were the correct height, and the feet, and he showed the emperor that. 2012 is coming to an end. I hope we have accomplished what the Lord wanted us to do in 2012. Let's pause just for 30 seconds and think back. Was 2012 a year that you knew that you accomplished what God wanted you to accomplish? You know, we have our own accomplishments, right? What about what God wanted us to accomplish? 2013 is a time I believe God wants to do something. Our God is always active in our lives. Just as parents are always concerned about their children, just as Sunday school teachers are concerned about their students, about how they grow, as youth leaders and the workers, of how the group will grow. God is always constantly involved in how we're growing. And I believe 2013 is no different. How do we get prepared for God's will in 2013? Let's look at Joshua chapter 1. I want to draw five things that hopefully can help us understand the will of God in 2012. How we can do, what can we do to prepare ourselves? Okay, take notes, those write down some of the things. And I believe it's important to get a grasp of this. Joshua 1 verse 1. How do we get prepared to do God's will in 2013? Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Moses, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people." God told Joshua, "Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. He's gone. He's not coming back." All right? Now, what's that significance? What is the significance of Moses in the life of Joshua? The Bible never really says how significant Moses was to Joshua. But I would think that Joshua was constantly beside Moses, being his minister. Right? So, firstly, Moses was his leader. Definitely his leader. Perhaps he was his pattern. Joshua saw what Moses did. And so many times, perhaps the example of Christian or spiritual leadership Joshua was able to observe. And maybe Moses was his inspiration of his dedication. And say, sometimes, you know, for us, when we look at a Christian leader, say, "Wow, I want to be like that Christian leader." Became an inspiration. Moses, perhaps, was his guide, his mentor in his life, his encouragement, his servant. the minister of Moses. But Joshua, you are now appointed to take these children over into the promised land. That is your task. You have no backup. You are it. And Joshua, the phrase, Moses, my servant, is dead, teaches us that when we are preparing to do the will of God, number one, we need to forget your past. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. The word forget, or rather, Joshua, you need to forget the past. Moses was your leader. He was your pattern to follow. He was your example to emulate. Moses was your inspiration. Moses was your guide. Moses was your mentor. Moses was your encouragement. Moses was there to teach you how to serve. But Moses is dead. The pattern that you have held on for so long is dead. The word forget the past has the idea of losing the memory of. Letting it go. Letting it go. So Joshua, as you stand before me, you are to lose the memory of your past. You are how you were able to accomplish those things because Moses prayed for you as you fought the Amalekites. Moses was leading you. You were merely following. The past can be used as a memory of how things are done. Just talking about the past a bit. How things are done should not be done. And the past can be used as a memory to encourage us. But when we continuously stay in the past, we cannot grow or do the will of God. The past becomes a comfort zone for so many people. God says that you cannot be prepared to serve me unless you are prepared to lose the memory of the past. We want to stay where we are, do what we have always been doing, but that is not God's will for a growing Christian. Like an infant who drinks milk from a bottle but now drinks milk from a cup. As Christians grow, we need to move on. As like a child who eats porridge with all the meat chewed up for him by the mom. You know, there was many times when I was feeding my children when they were young. I thank God they don't understand really what it means for me to eat the meat with all my saliva, take out and then give it to them. But that's the only way they can eat. You know, can I say this with, you know, the read, pray, grow, those devotional guides that children you use sometimes? How many of you use devotional guides, like daily bread and all that? No, it's okay for the young kids to use that. But listen to this, children, there comes a time in your life, you don't keep on reading the daily bread anymore. You know why? Daily bread is someone chewing God's word, writing it down and passing it to you. It's someone else's thinking. Does it make sense? There must come a time that you can read God's word for yourself. And you need to, parents, we need to encourage that reading of God's word. Make it easy. Print big words or whatever. Give it to them. They need to absorb God's word for themselves. Okay? Like a child who eats porridge with all meat chewed up for him by the mom, but now grows and eats the sirloin steak. Now, how many of you teenagers like steak? Okay? Only one. The rest are more healthy. No, just kidding. Right? Some people like, you know, they like to tear those meat out. And you know what? You need teeth to tear out those meat. How would you... don't have to put out your hand. How many of you drank milk from a bottle after the age of 3? Don't put out your hand, okay? 6. 7. 8. How many of you, you know, in therapy, we give advice, no child should be drinking from a bottle after the age of 3. Because it affects your teeth. Okay, that's the therapy advice we give. The speech therapist will give them. Okay, if any child about 4 still drinking milk, say, no, take away the milk bottle, you can have to help them to introduce, because you learn skills of holding cups and things like that. You know, I still remember I was drinking milk from when I was 7. Okay, what was 7? Okay, because anyway, I was drinking milk. I have to get past that. I got to get past that. Stop laughing at me, you guys. Don't you ever use that in conversation. All right? No, just kidding. But we need to grow up. By growing up, we need to forget the past. You know, it's okay to use the past as an encouragement, but when we stay in the past, oh, how I wish for those days. You know, you're not going to move forward. You're not going to move forward. Moses, my servant, is dead. How do we forget the past? Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Get up and go. Get up and go. We need to arise and go. We forget the past. We move out of our comfort zone by standing up and moving forward to the purpose that God intends for us. Number one, we need to forget the past. You know, many Christians live in the past. You know how I know? They're always talking about the past. They rehearse the past. They stay in the past. Oh, how I wish, how I wish, how I wish. God's not going to help you grow. You can't. Because your mindset has not been changed to be like Christ. We need to forget the past, lose the memory of the past, letting go, number one. Number two, you need to trust the promises of God. In Joshua 1, verse 2 to verse 5, God gave Joshua a whole list of promises. All right? Moses, my servant, is dead now. Therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I say unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon to the south, even unto the great river Euphrates to the east, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea, on the west, all right, and all the way to Goshen, the area, shall be your coast. God actually demarcated the land of Israel. All that land will be yours. Every foot, everywhere that your foot stepped down, that is yours. Can you imagine what God is telling Joshua? Joshua, the moment you step foot on that place is yours. You go further, that foot is yours. You go further, that foot is yours. You go further, that foot is yours. That's what God was telling Joshua. Every step that you move forward, in my name, that foot have I given to you. And God demarcated the entire land that Joshua was supposed to overcome. There was a promise of possession. That's a promise of possession. Then in verse number 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, I've said that already, shall be your coast. Verse 5, firstly, there was a promise of possession. Number 2, there's a promise of protection. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. How many of you can know a New Testament equivalent to this? Behold, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world. There shall no man be able to stand before you. Can you imagine what God is saying? There's no opposition that's going to come against you that will win you, that will beat you. With that kind of promise, do we dare to go forward? But that's not the end. Notice the third one. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Joshua, you listen to me. Well, these two, you can listen to me too. Okay, but God is telling Joshua, you listen to me. When I was in Egypt with Moses, I gave Egypt 10 plagues. I opened the Red Sea. I demolished the Amalekites as you prayed. I fed you for the 40 years in the wilderness. As I was with Moses, Joshua, with all that power in the past, I'm with you even right now. The promise of God's own presence. The promise of his presence. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. God not only gave the positive, he also gave the negative. I will not fail thee. There is nothing. Joshua, you can trust me 100%. I will not fail you. And when you are in trouble, Joshua, I will not forsake you. And that was a promise of God to Joshua. Trust the promises of God. Question for you, did God keep his promise? Let the Bible speak for Joshua 11 verse 23. Right, I believe he's there. Joshua 11 23. You see that? Joshua 11 23, I'll just read. There was 11 chapters after God said this, right? So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to the divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. God says, Joshua, you're going in, you're capturing the whole land. That's a promised land I've given to you. The Bible says, Joshua 11, verse 23, the land rested from war. After God has fulfilled his promises to Joshua, Joshua is still alive. And he did exactly what God told him to do. Joshua wasn't living for himself, he was living for God. He was conquering the land for God. The land wasn't for himself, it was for the good people of God. But as he went out to do, his life wasn't his. He was serving God. But in order to serve God, he needed to trust the promises of God. Let me ask you, do you trust the promises of God? What does it mean to trust the promises of God? I'm going to show what it means to trust the promises of God. Let's see. Who's the lightest person here? Can I borrow the lightest person? Actually, I wanted Ezra and Ruth. Joseph. Joseph, where are you? Come. Oh, he's always sorry. He's always sitting in front. Okay. Okay, Joshua, I'd like you to take the chair. I'd like you to take the chair. I'd like you to stand on the chair. I need you. I'm going to carry you. Oh, okay. Stand on the pulpit. You okay? Can you turn around? Can you turn around? You wait, you control yourself. Please watch him. He's not going to damage anything. Right? Okay. Why don't you jump? I'll catch you. Oh, no, jump to me. Not jump here. Let's try again. You can see that. Let's try again. You okay, yeah? Yeah, it's okay. No high attack. You did a good job, you know. Why don't you jump to me? No, jump to me, not jump here. Let's try again. Wait. Why you say nearer? Think through, huh? Why is it too far? Think through, huh? Okay, wait, you hold me here first? Yeah, let me take out your socks. So you got more grip. Steady, huh? It's okay. It's okay. He did wash his socks. Got more grip, right? You can see the claws. You okay? Okay. Okay. Two questions. Why you all say too far? Why do you say too far? You cannot jump. You can jump, right, Joshua? Joseph, you can jump, right? Hey, come. Okay, let's see. Okay. From here, standing broad jump as far as you can. Okay, come. One, two, three, four squares, right? Okay, four squares. One, two, three. Wait, I will catch you. Okay? I will catch you. Otherwise. Okay, good. Thank you. We will take steps of faith when it's stable, right? But when you're standing here, I did that with my children all the time. They throw themselves on me. Whoa! You know, I would put them on top of the van when they're about 2-3 years old. Question, why did you say too far? He could jump 1.2 meters here. Was it too far? Was it too far? It wasn't too far. What was stopping him? What did you see in his eyes? Why did he come lower? Why? Because of? What? Fear. The greatest hindrance to your faith in God is not because God is unable to catch you, because we are fearful to let God catch us. We are fearful we will lose what we already have. A Christian made this picture every time. Say, God, I need to trust you. May Joseph come into your mind. Say, God, he can jump 1.2 meters. But he did jump, amen? He did. Did you trust me to catch you? Not really. And it's interesting. Can we have another test? Because of time, you want to get...
I need to trust God on that one. I need to trust God on that one.
No, I was actually thinking of getting Ruth. You will see the difference in response. Ruth is younger. Okay, maybe we'll try that one time. Okay, we'll try that one time. Okay. What's the difference in age? When a child is younger, you find that they are able to trust more. Yes? But when they get older, what happens? A lot more interference. How many of you say amen to our trust in God? When a child is young, young in the faith, they tend to trust God. I want to go for this. You know, we are amen. I trust God. But over time, we begin to have interference. May I remind you once again today, trusting God is willing to just take God's word. I told you, I will catch you. And I'm not going to let Joshua kill me afterwards.
I will catch him.
Has God promised us his presence? Has God promised us his word? The Bible is a book of commandments, yes. But may I say the Bible is a book of promises. I will. The word I will means I've decided. I will be with you. Always, even until the end of the world. Oh, my God shall provide all your needs according to his riches in glory. God will provide. God will empower. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will be with you. Christians, we need to learn to trust the promises of God. You know, just now I talked about the interference. You know what God says in his word? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. You know why? You know why Joseph had problems really fulfilling his potential? He was counting the squares when he was up here. He could jump four squares. He only did two. What was hindering his potential? Not God's promises to catch him, but the need to learn to trust that God will catch him. And Joseph, I expect you to grow in your faith. And remember this for the rest of your life. Trusting God is not about our fear. It's about trusting God. Putting our faith in someone else. We don't trust faith. We trust God. Our faith must be in God. Because God is the only one who can hold us. Amen? When all else fails, only God can hold us. Will you trust God in 2013? Not finished yet. God is your only safety net in this world. When all else fails, it's only God. And the Bible says, Romans 10:11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You may think that you may have a bad deal in this life. God says, if you believe me, you will not be ashamed. Number one, forget the past. Number two, trust the promise of God. Number three, embrace the plan of God. With that faith, embrace the plan of God. In Joshua 1:6, God told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land. That was the purpose which I swear unto your fathers to do. The word be strong means, really, literally means be stubborn. In other words, be convicted in your mind, be stubborn, refuse to move. Know that if God says he will, God says he will. Be strong and be courageous. The word courageous is interesting because the word courageous means this. Courage is doing the things you are afraid to do. Courage is doing the things you are afraid to do. You know, I could have said, Joseph, be strong and be courageous. Jump. Trust me, I will catch you. There's a lot of things going through his mind and his heart. Uncle Johnny, I don't know, last time he always let me fall, whatever, you know. And I don't know, I'm going to trust him or not. And things will go through our minds. But you know what God says? Can we trust God? That's why God says, be strong. Be firmly fixed in that mind. I can trust God. And therefore, I will be courageous, being willing to do the things I'm afraid to do. Are you afraid to go door knocking to share with someone the gospel? Are you afraid to preach God's word? I have a hard time getting the men to preach. They'll say, no, they shoot arrows everywhere. But you know what? Come 2013, be strong, man. Be strong. And know that God is going to be your help as you serve Him, as you preach for Him. Embrace the plan of God. Here God reiterates the purpose again. You are going to divide the land, but be strong. Sometimes we lose sight of the purpose that God has for us. What is the purpose that God has for you? Do you know? Perhaps for the young Christian, the next step is to be baptized, to follow God in believer's baptism. For some of you, 2012 has been a time that you didn't have much time to share the gospel with your loved ones. Could be 2013, because I'm afraid that my uncle will say this and my auntie will say this, but 2013 could be, God give me strength to share slowly with my family, taking the next step of faith. One of the greatest hindrances to God's purposes is our fear. We are afraid. A few things. We are afraid of commitment. We have the Cephas attitude. Cephas attitude. We are afraid of losing out. We are afraid of feeling uncomfortable. Can I have the picture? This is an African impala, okay? This African impala can jump to a height of 10 feet. That's 3 meters. Sorry, not here. All right? It's about 3 meters. 3 meters, okay, like about 3 meters. Okay? This African impala, which is actually a small animal, can actually jump to a height of 3 meters. Okay? And the distance, and can cover a distance of greater than 30 feet in one leap. That's 10 meters. Much more than Joseph. Okay? Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see, and with faith, to be freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only allows fear to trap us. You know, when God told Joshua, fear not, He had to tell Joshua, because Joshua was shaking. I had Moses as my mentor. He's gone. God, you want me to conquer the promised land? You know how many cities are there? You know what God says? Be strong. I will be with you. But you need to trust me. I'm going to provide all this for you. There was one time in the youth, I preached in the young adults in NBC many years ago. I had this little box. I didn't tell them what it was. It's like a present right in the middle. I said, I'll give you that. And this is designed to improve your spiritual life. Okay? For $5. You know? Everyone kept quiet for about 10 minutes. Well, not 10 minutes. 5 minutes. You know, silence in a group, 30 seconds of silence in the group is very deafening. You know what I mean? When you're in the group, if everyone kept quiet for 10 seconds, you feel uncomfortable. But 20, 30 seconds, you get very uncomfortable. Okay? But everyone just kept quiet, didn't do anything. You. Finally, there was one guy, I said, okay, I'll take it. You know what was the box? I bought that, the set of, last time they used cassettes, they don't use cassettes anymore. Okay, that was about 20 years ago. It was a set of, I think about, I can't remember how many tapes, but there was Bible on tape. And I bought it in Australia for $150 so that I can listen in the car. And I wanted to use an object lesson that we were willing to trust, we get the benefit. And of course, he took it's his, you know, because I didn't have to use it anymore. So, but anyway, it's still working. But he was willing to invest. He was willing to say, I'll trust your word that it will build my Christian life. Are we willing to trust God? Or do we want to still be like the impala? That even though I have the potential of jumping high and far, I'm limited because I can't see where my feet is going to land. Is it okay? Is it okay for God to take us where we don't know? To lead us to where we have no idea of? Do you realize that is faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, one verse, and then we'll move on to the last point. Hebrews 11, I like this. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Let's read together. Ready? Hebrews 11, verse 8. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where you receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. What does the last phrase tell you? Abraham went. Come on, guys. God says, let's go. Go where? I don't know. Let's go. What do you mean? You're crazy. Where are we going? I don't know. God says, go. I go. No, I just obeyed. The Bible says, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing whither he went. Are you willing to follow even though you don't know the outcome? That's faith. Faith doesn't need to know the outcome. Faith just needs to know, God, you're at the end of that. You need to learn to trust God. Embrace the plan of God. Embrace the plan of God. Be strong and be courageous as you do so. Be prepared to do things that you usually will not do. Be prepared to use time and resources and give to God as He calls you. Point number 4, Joshua 1 verse 7. Be so filled with the precepts of God. Be so filled with the, forget the past, P. Trust the promises of God. Embrace the plan of God and be filled with the precepts of God. Only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt have good success, and then thou shalt prosper. God says, we call the prosperity principle in the Bible, okay? If you want true, genuine prosperity from God, live in His Word. Be like Christ. Live in His Word. Joshua, God told Joshua, my word is to be a continuous stay. My word is to be obeyed. And it is to be obeyed completely because that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Not bits and pieces, all. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commandments. All. If you want prosperity in your life, God says, be so filled with the precepts of God. On Friday night, we shared the verse. How many of you remember the verse on Friday night? Were you here? Oh, some of you, not on Friday night, excuse me. How many of you were here on Friday night? Okay, well, what was the verse we talked about? There's only one verse. Proverbs 29 verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When there's no vision, the people perish. I just quickly give you Friday night, you remember, right? Where there's no vision, the word vision has to do with the word of God. Where there's no vision, the people perish. The word perish has to do with a person being exposed. If I don't have God's word, I'm being exposed to the wrongs of this world. I'm being exposed to the attacks of this world. I'm being exposed to the corruption that's in the world. Is it any wonder many Christians get lost? Those people who will be going to secondary schools, you listen to me, you are going into totally new territory. Unless you have the vision of God, God's word strongly in your heart, you are going to be corrupted by the philosophies that will go all over. The teenagers, systematically, Satan is using the whole setting without the mentorship of parents, without the mentorship of their teachers. The teachers are too busy. Not that they're not doing a good job, but you know, they just cannot handle so many children. They're going to be going out there, and Satan is going to systematically slaughter a lot of young people. You need a vision of God in your hearts. Those people who are going on to maybe a new year or a new career or a new place in school, you need to be armed with God's word in your heart because God's word is the only thing that will keep you insulated from the coldness of sin in this world. Oh, have the vision of God in your heart. Be so filled with the precepts. Yesterday, we had a testimony of someone. Thank God many of the youth started the sword club, you know, sword club just to read the Bible. Thank God some of them finished reading the Bible in 1 year. You know, you need to do it again. And again, and again. He's so filled with the precepts of God. You know, Hosea, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How many Christians are going to leave Ambassador Baptist Church being corrupted by the things of this world? May there never be a statistic. And all we can do is to preach. You know, all we need to do is preach. Those in Sunday school, preach the word, proclaim the word on a regular basis, constantly letting it come out. It is God's word that will keep our hearts, not the pastor, not anyone else, but God's word and the Holy Spirit. We can only preach to be faithful to what God says. Be so filled with the precepts of God. And the last point, be assured of the prosperity from God. The Bible makes, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The only way to have success in your life is to go by the word of God. I've been saying this for the last 20 years. I'm still saying it because the Bible is still the same. And you know what? I've seen lives change, principles or philosophies of life turn to the place of God, and how God has blessed. I thank God for many of our people who have given time and effort to do the ministry this year. And I'm sure all the church are involved in some way or another by prayer, by encouragement, by giving. But you know, in 2013, God may just have a higher purpose for us. For some, it's just taking a small step of faith. But you know what God says? If you take a step of faith, that's yours. That's yours. Lord, I'll be baptized and follow you. I'll be with you when you do that. Lord, I want to serve this mission. Take the step of faith. Lord, I'll be... You know what? God wants us to move. God is asking for volunteers. Well, after you volunteer, then he'll call you. Isaiah chapter 6. Very clearly. Acts chapter 13. It's a principle of God that when God's not going to move until we move. Did you know that? In some situations, he has to. For example, Angel Gabriel, that was a supernatural way. But many times when God is not going to do for us what he knows we can and should do. I say again, God will not do for us what he knows we can and should do. Remember Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days? What was there in front of the big grave? A stone. And what did Jesus say? Move the stone away. Take ye away the stone. You know, big stones. But you know, the man moved it. But you know what? Unless the man moved the stone, Jesus won't be able to say, Lazarus, come forth. Unless we do what we're supposed to do. And I'm thankful. That's why I praise God for people who bring people. You know, unless we bring people in or share with them the word, God cannot do the work of saving their souls. Amen? Or God can supernatural. God can put a banner in the sky like he did, you know, 2,000 years ago and say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. No, he wants us to go. He wants us to go. Or he wants us to minister to someone. If we don't go, someone can't be blessed. As we close, is there a past that you cannot forget? Can I encourage you from God's word? Lose the memory of it. Let it go. Some hurts in the past, some offense. Some things that you have gone through and say, no, I'm not going back there again. It could be that God says, I want you to face your greatest fear. What did Moses have to do when God says, go back to Egypt? Do you know why Moses, you know, when God called Moses in Exodus 3, do you know why he hesitated? Many commentators believe Moses had to go back to Egypt to face his greatest fear, the Pharaoh, who wanted him dead. But later on, if you read, God says, the Pharaoh that wanted you dead is gone. That was after Moses had said, yes, I'll go. God removed the obstacle when our hearts are submitted to him. That's what it means when God says, I will clear the path for you. But first, I want your heart. And when you do that, God will open the way. The children of Israel, did you know how Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land? There was a river Jordan, if you know. And God says, when you step into the water, I will open the river. Listen to the sequence. When you step into the water, then I will open the river. That was exactly what the priest did. The moment they step, and those banks goes like this. Not smooth like this. Not like our, somehow, it goes like this. God says, when you step into the river, I will open. The priest took the Ark of the Covenant with full faith of God under the leadership and spiritual guidance of Joshua. When they stepped on River Jordan, guess what happened? Just as God said, the River Jordan opened. And after the entire army of Israel went in, what did Joshua do? Put 12 stones, one for each tribe, to remember what God did for you this day. How many of you can remember what God did for you when you trusted Him? There were some times and things that happened in your life, wasn't there? That you can look back sometimes with tears and say, thank God, I was willing to trust God and I'm seeing the blessing now. You know what God is saying? Spiritually, do you have those those stones of remembrance? Then you can look, God, I've trusted God. Christians, if you have those stones, can I say this? Use those stones of the past as an encouragement. If God, I can trust God then, I can trust God in 2013. I'll say one last thing. Do you know that God is already in 2013? He's already at Watch Night 31st, December 2013. He's already seen everything that's going to happen to you and me because He's the all-knowing God. And you know what? If my God knows what's happening in the next year, Christians have learned to trust Him. Let's put our lives in His hand. Let's pray. Lord, as we close, I'm asking You, Father, build our faith to trust an awesome God. Build our faith, Lord. Maybe many of us maybe don't even think about 2013 because there are so many things that we need to even do now. But Lord, I pray, Lord, give us grace, even as we humbly sit in Your presence right now. Help us to forget the past. Help us to lose the memory of things which God is honestly holding us back to do Your will even today. Help us to trust the promises of God. Oh God, You're so awesome because You are so faithful. There is not one word, Lord, that You have spoken, but everything that You said has come to pass. Oh God, help us, give us courage and strength to embrace the plan of God. And God, help us to be so filled with the precepts of God that our whole life will be controlled by Your word and then Your Holy Spirit helping us to apply those words. And Father, we thank You for the promise of prosperity. That God, we may not be prosperous as the world would think prosperous in money and careers and stuff like that. All the world goes after that. But God, we pray for spiritual prosperity in our own lives. That our children might go to heaven, oh God. That our young people will see the reality of God. That this world will fade away. But God, He that put us His trust in You will never be ashamed. For the young adults, as they place their lives in Your hands, for parents, as they lead by God's grace, the families You have given to them. Oh God, give us of Your grace. If your eyes closed, heads bowed. Can I just ask, I just want to pray for you. Is there anyone who say, Brother Johnny, pray for me? I just want you to pray for me with regards to anything that God wants to do with me in 2013. Oh, how much I need perhaps to forget the past, perhaps to learn to leap by faith, perhaps to embrace what God has for us, the plan, with courage and strength, perhaps to just, Lord, help me to be in Your word more often, and then be assured that when we do all that, God will give us prosperity. Is there someone who will say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help me in 2013 to be fully prepared to do His will, not mine. Is there anyone like that? Amen. I see that hand. Amen. I see hands all over. You know, Christians, I don't know your heart. Only God does. Amen. I see that hand. To pray in your heart, God, help me. Oh, there's a big plan out there. The promised land is a big place. But God is already there. 2013 is going to be 365 days or 24 hours and many seconds. Many things will happen. But yet, God is already there. You can trust your Heavenly Father. Is there anyone else? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I'll learn to put my life in God's hands. Is there anyone? With regards to your careers, amen. I see that hand too. In your careers, in your family, in your children, in whatever situations they may come up. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. We're just going to take probably about a minute. by yourself to pray by yourself. Those who have put up your hand, pray by yourself and give that whatever is in your heart to God. Then I'll close in prayer, and then we'll sing that song, God is Working His Purpose Out. All right, just a minute of silent prayer. And just as you give your heart to God. For those who are going on to new schools and all that, teenagers, pray, God, give me that vision of God's word in my life. Thank God, at the end of the years of education, the most important education I have will be that Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and I will serve Him with everything that I've got. Take the next few moments just praying, then I'll close. Father, we thank you for the quiet moment we can have with you. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to work in those people who have put up their hands. Lord, every hand that is put up is an indication of their decision before you or their burden before you. Lord, I'm human. I cannot see their heart, but thank you, Lord, that you can. And as their loving Heavenly Father, I beseech you on their behalf that you would answer their prayer in a mighty way. God, that whatever burdens they have, you lift it. Whatever weakness they have, you would strengthen it. Whatever fear they have, may you replace that with faith in the only God that can overcome fear. Is that, Lord, I pray that you would bless every child of yours that will come in simple faith to you to be willing to jump the leap of faith. Not blind faith, but leaping into the hands of a God who will catch them when they jump. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We thank you for what you're going to do in our church. Those people whom you have called, more people that you will be calling in the future. Lord, we are so humble that you have seen fit to bless us with a new place. But there is only, Lord, to give us a sense of what you would want us as a church to do, to continue to preach the gospel, to continue to be a lighthouse, to continue to be a refuge for souls that are hurting from the things of this world. To continue, Lord, to be a place whereby people can come and find Jesus Christ, the light of this world. God, I pray that till you come, we will remain faithful to your trust. Oh God, grant us the strength to know that we cannot do this ourselves, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need you always to be head of this church. God, thank you for everyone who has been blessed and touched by you today. Lord, your word has spoken to us, I believe. May we take this home and meet 2013, Lord, with faith in Christ. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Close it with our prayer. Father, we thank you that you are working your purpose out, not just in our church, but in every one of our lives. And Father, we pray that the message that you have given to us today, to this unworthy servant, Lord, may you speak to every heart with the word spoken. Lord, like Joshua of old, we are praying as we trust you as Joshua did, that we will able many years later look back and say, I've completed what God wanted to accomplish in my life. Oh, Father, I pray for every individual Christian that they will take the next step that you are asking them to do by faith, moving up, losing the memory of the past, arising and going forward. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We thank you so much for your encouragement through the life of your servant, Joshua. May we all, Lord, be your servant, being prepared to move forward in your purpose in 2013. Bless everyone now as they take these thoughts home. And may they be a blessing to someone else, Lord. We look forward to even tomorrow as we have the watch night to hear the blessings of God. We pray that you would bless us. Thank you, Lord. Pray you bless every individual that's here. For one, Lord, who may not know Christ, I pray, God, that they will not be satisfied with just being edified. But God, maybe their spirits are lifted because of the song and the words. But I pray they will make sure they have Jesus Christ in their hearts today. Because only Jesus will save, not the church, not the priest, not the pastor, not whatever, not charity. Only Jesus Christ, the Savior of this world, can say, thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. We ask all this in your most holy name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed. God bless you. And remember, tomorrow, 6:30, we start our watch night. Do join us, all right?